Hi, this is Ray Comfort. This is a tape called Favorites, and it's called Favorites because it's got some of my favorite recordings on it. Let me give you a little synopsis of the four recordings. One is a healing that actually takes place as you listen. It's a Baptist pastor from Houston. I can verify the credibility of this man. I did an hour and a half, or an hour I think it was, interview with him on radio. Very nice man of God, loves God with a passion, and it's just inspiring. I'm sure you'll have tears in your eyes as you listen to him share about his healing. May God bless you as you listen to my favorites.
That's marvelous. And he heals all of my diseases. Now then, let's talk about that for just a second. He heals all of my diseases. How many of you have a Scofield Bible? Anybody have a Dr. Scofield Bible? We've got two or three around our house. Right? Dr. Scofield has been very popular for a very long time. And a lot of his commentary on the Scripture is very good. I've used a lot of it, still do. One thing that he did trying to help is that he was a believer in dispensations, and he put everything in nice, neat little time packages because it makes things easy to understand. And that's fine. One of the problems is that a lot of folks who are owners of Scofield Bibles have started to read his notes, which are generally above and below where the Scripture is and the way they're printed in the Bible, and they're usually printed in the same typeface, and the reason they're done that way is because it's cheaper. And so there are a lot of folks that over the years have come to where they can't really differentiate between where the Scripture cuts off and where Scofield's notes begin. And so some folks have taken Scofield's notes to be almost inspired. Now, there's a problem. One of the things that Dr. Scofield does in his nice, neat little packages of dispensations is this starts when this ends. What have I told you about putting God in a box? Whenever you put God in a box, what do you do? Immediately kicks the walls out. You can't put God in a box. It's nice to, in general terms, say these are the things that seem to happen in these ways, and that's good. For instance, in the Garden of Eden, man was dealt with by God. It was called conscience. That's how God dealt with man. Said, this is wrong. Don't do that. And there was an age of conscience. In the Old Testament, there was the law, and that was the age of law, the dispensation of law. That was how God dealt with man. When you come to the New Testament, that's the era or the dispensation of the church and of miracles and all that sort of thing, and it happens. The problem is that there are some folks who want to get so rigid with those boxes that they say, look, this started here and ended there, and it'll never happen again. When you start with always and you wind up with never, you're in trouble. Because God is never, 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 and always God. And he is always a never God. Because he's God. And he has the right to be what he chooses to be. So when the psalmist writes, and he heals all of my diseases, let me say to you that I believe God still heals. That hasn't ended. That is not over. Now you have to be careful on how you do this. Because there are folks who carry things to an excess, and it becomes a show. And God has never intended that that be what it is. God heals in his sovereign will. I don't know why God does things that he does, but I know that he does. And the only thing he requires of me is to allow him to be God and me to be me, and let it be. To say that every single person will always be healed because Jesus died on the cross is a misinterpretation of Scripture. Not true. Won't work. Isaiah 53 doesn't talk about physical healing. I'm sorry. That's just not the context. And to impress that there causes a misinterpretation of Scripture. That's wrong. On the other hand, to say that, since we don't have anything after the book of Acts, that miracles ended at the book of Acts and they never happen again, is equally as wrong. Because you have put God in the box both ways. And he doesn't want to be in the box. So, the psalmist says, I'm excited, bless the Lord, O my soul. One of his benefits is he heals all of my diseases. And then in verse 4 he says, and he redeems my life from the pit. Now, I like that verse just a whole lot. I have had, and you have had in times past, pit experiences. We've all had times when our life seemed to be in a pit, in a grave. And we didn't have an answer for the pit we find ourselves in. And I don't understand this right now. I'm a bit overwhelmed at the moment. I'm not quite sure what to say or do. Sounds funny to say at a loss for words. Thank you, Lord. He redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is abounding in love. The Lord will not accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. That's mercy. Or repay us according to our iniquities. That's mercy. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. I'm sorry for the emotions. No, I'm not. That's a lie. I'm not. I wish I could let you see how I feel inside right now. I wish I could see how I feel inside right now. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I don't think I can stay with the structure, guys. I've lost my thought. I've lost my... the plan's gone. I worship and praise and adore. To say thank you to the Lord is to say, how do you say thanks? You know, that's what Andre Crouch wrote in a song. How can I say thanks for all the things that you've done for me? Things so undeserved. I recorded that a number of years ago. And yet you came to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. And that's how I feel right now. To God be the glory for the things he has done. And he heals all my diseases. And he heals all my diseases. Bless the Lord. And give praise to his name. And worship him. Let me just wrap it up and say this. I know that I know that I know that I know that wherever you are in your life and whatever's going on with you and however deep the pit or ever how high the mountain, God is there. He is there. And as you have lived with me these last years, would you believe 3 years this Sunday, 3 years today, since I preached my last sermon? I hadn't even thought about that. As you have lived this experience with me these last 3 years and prayed and supported us and held us up, as surely as that is real for me, it is real for you. And as surely as God has directed our paths and led us, He is leading and will lead you. I have told you all the years I have taught, because I believe it with every fiber of my being, that God never does anything without purpose. He never does anything capriciously. He never does anything without having everybody in His mind. So, while I enjoy the personalness of this today, I want you to understand that God also perhaps has purpose in it for encouraging you. And don't miss that. Because as much as He loves me, He loves you just as much. And you're just as important to Him as I am. Thank you, Lord. Oh, this is fun.
What you've just heard took place in the presence of over 200 other witnesses at Houston's First Baptist Church on the 17th of January, 1993. To close this chapter in this amazing testimony to God's mercy and to God's grace, here again is Dwayne Miller.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the most incredible experience of my life. I share with you the genuineness of it, and I share with you the reality of it, because I want you to know that God is still on the throne. And while that experience is a marvelous one for me personally, I would remind you that God never did anything without purpose. And I believe that His purpose in this experience is to encourage your faith and to encourage you to know that God cares about you. He hasn't lost your address. You may feel that you're living in the same kind of pit that I was living in. You may feel that things are at an end and a close for you. But I want you to understand that God knows exactly what's going on in your life. As you go back and listen again to the material that I was teaching, please understand that I had no control over that material. I did not choose it. It was simply regular curriculum. But the Lord had ordained that we would be using that material on that particular Sunday so that His miracle would be in order and would be within the context of that discussion. That material was chosen some 6 years before it was presented, for that's how the schedule was set up on Bible Book Series material, 1986, when it was scheduled. So though you may be very discouraged today, and though you may feel at times that no one understands and no one cares and no one knows what is going on in your life, please understand that God does know, and He does care, and He does understand, and He does love you.
If you've been blessed by Dwayne Miller's story and would like to share it with friends, cassette copies are available. Our purpose, again, is not to sensationalize or to commercialize, but to share a wonderful story of contemporary relevance to believer and unbeliever alike with no personal gain. We'd also like you to know about Practical Christianity, a monthly newsletter in which Dwayne Miller shares his timely perspectives on living the Christian life in today's real world. Information on both is available by calling Practical Christianity, area code 713-464-9966, or by writing to P.O. Box 27007, Houston, Texas, 77227. And thank you for sharing this very special experience with us.
The second one is Leonard Ravenhill, and will make your hair stand on end. He's ministering to about 200 pastors when one of them makes a joke in the back of the meeting, and what happens is kind of scary, especially when you're like me and you kind of make jokes in that kind of setting.
Listen, fellas, if it's funny to you, go home. I'm preaching my heart, I'm preaching about eternity. Are you pastors? You need to be at this altar now. I haven't prayed and sweat about this message. To me, this is as vital as any message I've preached around the world in some of the biggest threat. This is a crisis, aren't it? God help you. Is that only reverence you have for God? No wonder your church is ungodly. I didn't ask you to come. You didn't pay $10. I'm not going to blow you over. I'm preaching straightforward scripture. If you don't like it, I've told you go. I won't care what hell it means. You're possibly ever sleepless now. I'll be praying for you when you're asleep tonight. If that's the only concern you have of reverence for God, you're pretty sick. So up come the soldiers. 2,000 people made a barrier so that these foreigners couldn't get into the holy place. But he still pushed through. He went right from the, according to the different courts they had, he went through the Gentile court, he went through the court of Israel, he went through the court of women, he went through the court of priests. Then he came into the holy place and they said, there's the Holy of Holies, that's where God lives. You can't go in there. There's a man called Uzziah tried to do that and he died. Please. And they all fell on their faces crying. Like I feel do when you can laugh. When we talk about a holy God and you sit there and laugh and tell your silly jokes. God pity you. This is a crisis hour. If you're not serious, I am. I'm not interested in preaching any church. I've preached 70 years. I started when I was 15. I'm 85. I don't sleep two nights a week. God has a record.
The third one is a demonic manifestation live on the radio. Bob Larson is the interviewer. It's very interesting, and I really don't know. I feel it's genuine. Some Christians are a little skeptical, which is understandable, because it is fantastic when you listen to it. But I've heard demons speak, and I can verify this is exactly what they sound like. And if it was fake, why would someone fake something like this when it's understandable to be skeptical no matter what? So listen and make your own mind up.
Here we go. Here's the rest of it.
And they said I was bonding with the universe. And that animal would give me strength to carry out the things that I would need to know when I became of age. And then after it happened, they killed the animal and they poured his blood all over me. And then I just sat there. And I kept asking why, and they would never tell me why. They said that the blood covers and protects. That's all they would tell me.
Well, Rebecca, that is a perversion of scriptural truth, because it is the blood of Christ that covers and protects us and forgives us from all sin.
You can help me?
The first thing we can do is pray for you.
Does it hurt?
It doesn't hurt.
Do I have to cut myself?
You do not have to cut yourself. In the name of our Father in heaven and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we just pray right now for the peace and comfort of God to come upon Rebecca. We bind all the powers of darkness, and I place the blood of Christ on Rebecca right now. You are bound. And Rebecca is being loosed. Rebecca is being loosed by the power of Jesus Christ. Don't worry, Rebecca. God is in control. Don't you worry. Who are you? Who are you? The keeper? You are not the keeper. You are not the guardian.
Who am I?
You are subject to Jesus Christ. You who call yourself keeper, is Jesus Christ Lord?
Yes.
To whom does she belong?
right now as he belongs to my master.
You will not continue to belong to him.
We'll do everything we can to terminate her.
You can't terminate her.
I'm sick of you.
You who call yourself the Keeper, speak to me. In the name of Christ, you speak to me.
What is it?
You let her go.
Why should I let her go? She belongs to me.
Not forever.
I was sent here to protect her, to guide her, and to lead her.
Jesus Christ came here to die for her.
She has not yet made that choice.
She will make that choice. And you know very well it's a miracle that she called. It's a miracle she called today, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it?
Someone out there was praying for her.
Well, that's your problem. How many more of you are there?
How many people?
How many more of your kind?
There are hundreds.
Well, the hold is being broken.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, and you know very well it is being broken. God did not have her call me by an accident. God would not have thousands of people praying right now. And you know very well that your hold is being broken now.
We will have her on our Hallows Eve.
No, you will not have her on your Hallows Eve. You will not have
ours.
No, she will not be yours forever. She will belong to Jesus Christ.
She, like David, will burn. He's deceived.
Who's David? The David we were talking to a moment ago?
He's deceived.
Is Satan defeated?
Yes.
Did Jesus Christ rise from the dead?
Yes.
Then you are defeated too. And your hour has come to an end.
I have a right to be here.
What is the right?
She has not accepted your God.
I bind you to submerge and hold your tongue silent. Rebecca?
What?
Do you want love in your life?
I'm scared of it.
Did you want it?
Yes.
Do you want God?
I don't know who he is.
Do you want him? Do you want him if he is love?
If it's true.
Then say... Say, I, Rebecca. Keeper, stay out of the way in Jesus' name. Say, I, Rebecca.
I, Rebecca.
Want love.
What love?
I want God. Stay out of the way, Keeper. Stay out of the way.
I want love.
I want out.
I want out.
Say, I put my trust.
I put my trust.
In God.
In God.
In God. Stay out of the way, Keeper.
God.
And Jesus Christ. Say, Anne.
And
Jesus. Say Jesus. Keeper, stay out of the way. Stay out of the way, Keeper.
Jesus.
Christ.
Christ.
Keeper, you are bound. You stay right there, and I'm going to come back to you in a minute. I have to go away. Now, that, folks, was the way the show ended yesterday. And another 2 hours followed, and I'm going to let you hear more of that in a moment. In the meantime... The on-the-air number, 1-800-821-TALK, is open to any of you who want out of Satanism.
And lastly, and you'll need this after you listen to the demonic tape, don't listen to it at midnight, by the way, is an exhortation by a pastor that'll just thrill your soul. So,
the Bible says he's a seven-way king. He's a king of the Jews. That's a racial king. He's a king of Israel. That's a national king. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Well, I wonder if you know him. Do you know him? Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. My king is the only one whom there no means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his solar supplies. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessings. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's impurely powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my King. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's august. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in high criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. And that's my King. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. Well, he's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He straws God and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Well, my King is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. He's a master of the mighty. He's a captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. That's my King. Yeah. 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 That's my King. My King. Yeah. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's indescribable. Yes. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm come to tell you, the heavens of heavens cannot contain him, let alone a man explaining him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my King. Yeah! He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my King. Praise the Lord. That's my King. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. All the power belongs to my King. We around here talking about black power and white power and green power, but it's God's power. Thine is the power. Yeah. And the glory. We're trying to get prestige and honor and glory for ourselves, but the glory is all His. Yes, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. How long is that? And ever and ever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all of the forever, then amen.
I trust you enjoy them, and may God bless you.